This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, April 10th, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. Good to have you with us. And I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everybody. Good to be here. Gee, you know, half of April's gone already, Doug.
Close enough, at least a third of it.
I know.
Yeah, year's going fast, as we always do.
It is.
Well, we're glad everybody could join us tonight for this live program or in the archives. We appreciate your time. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we also operate the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available, including spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, and there are quite a few others. For more information, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And also, if you're only interested in perhaps a standalone course, a certificate course, or certification course, please visit our new sister site at newageclass.com. You can take those standalone courses there. I'm being told I have a hollow microphone. I'm going to fill it up with love. Then it won't be hollow. I'll turn it up just a little bit. Tell me if that's any better as I continue here.
All right.
All right. Tonight we're going to be talking about the magic of taking your power back. It's just a, well, should I say, dare I say, magical technique for fixing a lot of stuff in one's life. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Pretty powerful principle. Before we do that, we'll do our normal profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle of do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for, capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human condition and enhancing the human spirit. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, you can find them at mchschurch.org, and there's a longer discussion there as well. So, tonight we're going to talk about the magic of taking your power back. And this is actually a pretty powerful technique, even though on the surface it doesn't sound like much. It's one of those that becomes more profound the more you consider it, the more you ponder it. And so we're going to discuss that. In the description, I talked about how it can correct just about everything from bad relationships and boundary violations to unwanted paranormal phenomena and possessions. And so we're going to kind of talk about those different things. So let's start it off with exactly what does it mean to take your power back? Well, there's more to it than just what it sounds like on the surface. When you take your power back, it infuses confidence in a person. They become more confident. They become more clear-headed. They become more sure. And it's really about ensuring or reaffirming one's boundaries in a myriad of ways. So let's talk about relationships to begin with, and then we'll kind of get into some of the other areas where this can help. You know, relationships are just an interesting thing because, you know, all my life, I always figured, well, married people argue, don't they? You know, people in relationships, especially intimate relationships, argue and fight, don't they? You know, I was told that the best of marriages are difficult when I was growing up, and, you know, it's kind of crap I came to believe. Well, that just simply isn't true. It doesn't need to be that way. And so when we take our power back, we stop allowing other people to define us. We reject them esteem, and we enhance our own self-esteem. Self-esteem is when you have internal validation and expectation, and them esteem is when you have external expectations and validation. So, for example, them esteem, I only feel good about who I am when I'm fulfilling what other people expect me to do, whether that's my partner, spouse, boss, religion, whatever. I only feel good about me when I do what other people think I ought to be doing. That's them esteem. It's the opposite of self-esteem. Self-esteem is I fulfill myself. I have internal expectations, and I live up to those, and I validate myself. I don't need anything outside of me to validate who I am. I have worth and merit as a unique individual. That's self-esteem. And so when we take our power back, our self-esteem goes up. And we understand that we have the same rights to the good things in life as anyone else, no more, no less. We have the same rights to our perspective without judgment, even though people may judge us at times. It doesn't matter. We kind of subscribe to the old adage, you know, what you think of me is none of my business. You know, and as long as we do no harm and we do right, that's fine. That's great. So when we take our power back, we uplift our energy. We stand on our own 2 feet. We understand who we are, and we know why we are who we are. So we take our power back. So when somebody tries to violate a boundary, we protect that boundary in an assertive manner. You know, when you yell at me, I feel disrespected. Can I ask you to not ever yell at me again? When you essentially call me names, I feel denigrated. Can I ask you to not call me names in the future? When you tell me what to do, I feel essentially violated. And I feel like you're trying to take responsibility for me. Can I ask you to not try to control me in the future? Those are assertive ways of dealing with those kinds of boundary violations. And so we take our power back. Any thoughts at this juncture, Vicki?
No, it's great stuff, Doug. Absolutely. Taking our power back is all of the above. And of course, we could go on and on with examples. When you find yourself in one of those difficult situations that, oh, you know, somebody is stepping over the line, you have to assert yourself. And this, I think, is the problem. A lot of people don't want to. They're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings, or they wonder, where is the boundary? Like, if I don't want them to say that to me, then maybe I ought not to say it to them. So it's to understand that there is this invisible force between us that is to be respected, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense.
Yep. And, you know, when we talk about taking your power back, another way of putting that is empowering yourself. You know, understanding, again, that you have the right to all the good things in life, the same as anyone else, no more, no less. when you take your power back, you begin to realize that you don't need to live by somebody else's definitions of life or whatever, existentialism of God, of religion, of whatever, that you have the right to determine your own path. You have the right to determine, to state what that path will be without judgment. Again, people may still judge you, but it doesn't matter. You still have the right, without judgment, you still have the right to be who you are as long as you do no harm and you do right. That's taking your power back. That's empowering yourself. It's standing up tall, understanding that you are a unique person and you are perfect just the way you are. There is nobody on this planet that can be more perfect at being you than you are. And as long as you strive to be better tomorrow than you were yesterday, you're perfect in the only way a human being can be perfect. You know, those fantasies of perfection, well, nobody's perfect. Well, that's hogwash. We're all perfect. We're perfect the way we are, and we're getting better every day. We're a perfect work in progress. There is no such thing as, quote, perfection, unquote. All that is an ancient paradigm designed to manipulate through guilt and shame. You know, you're not.
I think that's a very religious.
Well, it is. That's what I'm trying to say. You're not fulfilling what God expects of you. Well, you know what? If there is such a person, which I doubt, they imbued me with free will. Therefore, I could choose my own way. And as long as I'm doing no harm, I don't care what they want me to do. It's so simple. You can't create a creature with free will and then tell them what they need to do. It's not the way it works.
Well, I think self-esteem, Doug, is, and self-empowerment, we can take it like, even in another view about I am me. If we're in relationships, I am me and you are you, but we have this space between us that we nurture. And you've said it. It's in the IMHS program, MCHS, that it's what we bring to the table. And I think what very often happens is when people give their power away, they're waiting for somebody else to bring something to the table, you know? Mm-hmm. And so being very kind and loving and being yourself and, you know, nurturing the relationship, sometimes we inadvertently feed kind of psychic vampires. You know, we're emotional vampires. And it's got to be a willing thing that each of us does. It's what I willingly bring and what somebody else willingly brings. We can't change other people, and that's the point. You know, so it's to observe what somebody else brings to the table. And that represents how they esteem themselves and what they and how perhaps I'm just going to say like that generosity of spirit and what we each bring to the table. So if I am pretty certain about who I am and I'm learning, if I meet somebody new, it's a whole new chemistry, a whole new dynamic. But I think this whole building of relationships is that I bring something and I wait for somebody else to bring something. And if something's not brought, then I'm in the relationship all by myself.
Yep. And that kind of leads into the whole thing with relationships about the identity. In fact, most relationships, there is an identity crisis, at least on the part of one. Because in so many relationships, one of the partners will take on essentially the identity of the other. And this happens especially in abusive relationships where the victim will take on the identity of the abuser. This is very much related to the Stockholm Syndrome. And so in any healthy relationship, you have two equal partners who believe in mutual interdependent relationships. That means they rely on each other, but it's a mutual thing. There's equality there. And each has their own identity. Each one is not defined by the other. You know, they each have their own identity. And they grow and they move through life. They don't, quote, need the other, unquote, to live and to be happy. They're self-complete. That's healthy relationships. And so as we progress from relationships, let's kind of discuss another aspect of how taking your power back can help. And that's in the area of possessions. Now, when I say possessions, probably the first thing that comes to people's minds is some sort of demonic possession. And we'll get to that in a moment. But what would you say, or I'm talking to the audience here now, what would you say if I said that most people are possessed? They are, in fact, possessed. They're not possessed by any kind of demon or anything. They're possessed by other people. And whenever we give our power over to other people to dictate us to us how who we should be, how we should live, and that sort of thing, we are essentially possessed by them. And I'm not talking about the employer-employee relationship here. I'm talking about general relationships. If you think about the abused woman who lives in fear of the abuser, the man, the boyfriend, or whoever, and it could be vice versa too. It could be, the roles can be flipped between genders. But to use that one, you know, the boyfriend, the husband, the whoever abuses her, hits her, bangs her up, you know, and she calls the police but won't press charges. Tell me, who's possessed that woman? Well, it's the abuser. She's possessed by him. And this can leak over into even other less intense type scenarios. If we are afraid of what our partner will say or think or how they will react to something, you know, we're becoming possessed by them. In any healthy relationship, again, you have two people who do not try to control the other, who recognize the equality and recognize that you're both adults and you can make those decisions, and we all have to stand or fall by our decisions. You know, we learn those lessons. We have to accept responsibility for them. So most people are possessed. You can see it all over the place. And people who are possessed have them esteemed, because the only way they're validated is that what they do is pleasing to other people. They get that feedback, that those accolades, that recognition. Oh yeah, you're doing just what the Bible says. You know, you're going to go to heaven. Oh cool, I feel good about myself now. Of course, then, you know, they need to read that scripture that says probably you may be concealed on the day of God's anger. So there's not even any sure bets there. So that's just an area there that to keep in mind.
You know, Dan is asking in the chat there, Doug, about what about bosses and subordinates, that kind of relationship?
Well, that's a different relationship, you know, because when you're in an employee-employer relationship, basically they are paying you for either your time and expertise or your expertise. And basically, they're paying you to do a job, and so therefore, since they are paying you, they can dictate to you how the job should be done, when it should be done, those sorts of things. And that's an agreement that you have when you go to work for somebody. If you're going to work for somebody and they're going to pay you, then they have the right, the moral right, to call the shots. And I'm not talking about how they treat you and all that other stuff. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just from a strictly boss-employee relationship, you know, it's their call. You know, if you're doing it the smart way and they want you to do it the stupid way, fine. They're paying you. There's no debate here. Do it their way. They have that right to ask that. Now, if you get into a situation where a boss is abusive, treats people bad, not only is that just downright stupid because of the legalities of it, you know, but it's not nice. And so in some extreme situations, people have sued, you know, for a workplace that is abusive, and they've won. And so these days, bosses need to think twice before they are unkind or try to abuse those that work for them, because there are legal there is legal recourse that can be done.
But I think this is the point too, Doug, that everybody needs to be better at communicating, no matter in what kind of relationship. If it's a boss and a, you know, subordinate or worker, and you know, if it's a sister relationship, a parent-child relationship, all relationships need to be worked on. And the more that people are living from the inside out, as I say it, then we're more respectful of other people, and we're just kinder to one another.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Dr. Phil says, and I'm talking about in the chat room, you're not the one on TV. However, you have the right to leave the job in that regard. And that just reminded me of the three L's. We always have choices. In any situation, we always have a choice. And these are called the three L's. I didn't write these. Now, I'm not entirely positive who did, but I heard him at a seminar. Three L's. You have, you know, it's basically you have the right to leave, lobby for change, or live with it. So in any situation, you can leave it. You can lobby for change. That means talk to the person, try to work things out. Or you can live with it. Your choice. You always have those three choices with anything. So you're not without choices. Go ahead, Meryl.
You were talking earlier, Doug, about being possessed by somebody. There was something, a little tidbit in there that is very, very common when you had said how people are afraid to speak up on their own behalf to somebody else. If you're worried about how someone else is going to react, what they're going to say, how you are going to interact after, I can't say that. Basically, it's being dishonest. It's putting on a face of somebody you're not to please. So you basically done a sales job. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that is that you are being possessed by the needs of somebody else. And I take it into another kind of language where you've given your spirit away.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the exercises, if I can throw this in right now, is just sitting by yourself in a meditation. If there's somebody in particular that you feel, you know, has that kind of a tie or hold on you, picture them in your mind and call your own name back. And it's just bringing back your own energy. And it's just an energetic, psychological, emotional, physical kind of exercise. It just works. Give it a go and get back inside yourself so that your energy isn't with somebody else. So it's just an exercise, Doug.
Good exercise. So we're talking about taking your power back, empowering yourself. And you almost have to get a little bit righteously indignant here at times to really do this. If you think about the boundary violations that occur to us on occasion, sometimes more often than not with some people, you have to go back to your rights as a human being, your inalienable rights as a human being. You have the right to all the good stuff in life, the same as anyone else, no more, no less. You don't have more right to it than other people, but you don't have less right to it than other people. And a lot of folks think, well, I'm just not that smart. I'm not that trained. I'm not that good. I'm not that old. Whatever it is, those are all what Zig Ziglar calls, you know, loser's limp. You know, they're excuses. And the bottom line is that we all have worth. We're all unique. And that chances of us being here are astronomical, you know, I mean, just absolutely astronomical, beyond belief. Talk about, I mean, winning the lottery is way easier than the chances of us being here. So we have to basically pat ourselves on the back now and then and understand that we have the rights to a good life. We have the rights to happiness at home and peace at home. Those are all rights that we have. And so many people are in such toxic relationships that they've forgotten that, or maybe they never knew it. And so if you're in a relationship with somebody that robs you of your peace, that will not change, there's only one thing left to do. Leave. You know, you can live with it, leave, lobby for change. If the lobby for change is not working, and if living it with it's killing you, there's only one other way to go, and that's leave the relationship, and that is your right. There is no guilt. There is no shame. You know, it's two people's energy signatures, and they have to be harmonically compatible. And most people's relationship or energy signatures, rather, are harmonically compatible. It's just that they're both unhealthy, so therefore, like attracts like. If you have an unhealthy energy signature, you're going to attract other people with unhealthy energy signatures. Those people may be abusive, they may be passive, they may be passive-aggressive, it doesn't matter, they're unhealthy, and that's what attracts one another. Like attracts like. You probably heard, you know, that opposites attract, but that's baloney. They don't. Like attracts like. Unhealthy attracts unhealthy. Healthy attracts healthy. So when you think about taking your power back, you're standing back up on your own two feet. You're protecting your boundaries. You are reaffirming your rights to a peaceful and productive life that's meaningful and filled with purpose. Those are good things. And when we talk about people being possessed, they are possessed, but it's by other people. And in just a moment, we'll address the whole demonic possession thing.
You know, I was just thinking in there, Doug, as you're, as you're talking, how we tend to, I had a thought, Doug, and it was right there in the tip of my tongue.
Back.
You know, I think that the energy signatures, there's something I'd like to throw out there. When when you say like attracts like, and you find yourself in one of those nasty relationships, it's not a matter of going deep and saying, oh, geez, what's wrong with me? How bad am I? Sometimes people do a really good sales job. Mm-hmm. And we like that sales job. There's a part of us that likes the sales job. We just didn't look at the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something in ourselves that needs, we have a need. So when we go with the emotional need, and, you know, it attracts to somebody else's presentation of themselves that's not the whole self, then that's going to fizzle out. And if you're looking for in a relationship just to satisfy a need, it's going to be temporary. So when we look at ourselves, what's the energy signature? There was just something there that I really liked, that I was really attracted to, but it was one of those temporary things that's going to fizzle out because it wasn't the full meal deal. You know, it's just looking for a gratification of a need at that moment, not looking for the well-rounded partnering for life. And the other thing I wanted to just throw in there too, when we're talking about becoming more self-possessed, this is for our listeners, it's not a matter of absolving yourself of responsibility. If you have children, they come first. You know, but what then is the responsibility? Are you responsible for cooking the dinner if there's only two of you? No. You know,
right.
But if you have children, then you're responsible for cooking the dinner. So if somebody else, you know, the partner's not contributing, then you have to kind of make your list about what somebody brings to the table and if you're lobbying for change. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of clarify and throw a couple of those things in for some of our listeners. I think they're helpful tips.
They are. And a good point that you made is, you know, if we find ourselves in an unhealthy relationship, it's not about self-denigration. It's not about, oh, how did I screw up and, you know, how bad am I? That's not the productive path to take. It's like, what can I learn from this? What do I need to be changing within me so that I attract healthier people? Because we often know that people in bad relationships usually and often go from one bad relationship to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And they wonder, why can't I find somebody good? Well, it's because they haven't worked on themselves. If you want to have a great relationship with other people, the first relationship you've got to repair is the one you have with you. You know, you've got to know who you are and why you are who you are. You've got to protect your boundaries. You've got to make your energy signature healthy, one that attracts other healthy people. And then you won't be in a relationship where somebody's trying to control you or abuse you or limit you and all that. And you won't get into a relationship because you, quote, need something in the other person. You're self-complete, and so are they. And so you choose to have a partnership. You choose to be in a relationship with each other. Those are all healthy reasons.
And don't be in a hurry to have a relationship.
Yeah.
It just means also that you have to be patient and wait for the right signature,
mm-hmm.
to meet up with the right signature. And you know, we get it. We all get it that people, you know, they, geez, I wish I had somebody to do this with, and geez, it would be nice to have somebody around. I really want a relationship. But if you're looking for the package, the real deal, then you got to wait.
Well, you have to filter out the ones that are not, that don't meet the requirements, essentially. If you think about it, will somebody with a healthy energy signature, will they attract unhealthy people? Yes, but it's not because that person's unhealthy. It's because the unhealthy people see something that can be fulfilled in that person, in that healthy person. The unhealthy person sees something that they need and to make them balanced. Well, that's all unhealthy. And so if you think about a filtering system, just think about any kind of filtering. When they filter things, you know, you start with a big grate, right? It's got big openings, and it will filter big things and lets the little things through. And then you go to another filter, a little bit smaller screen, and then it only lets really tiny things in. And then you go to another filter that only lets, you know, very, very, it's very tight. It only lets the purity, the pure things in. And so a lot of times in relationships, that's what will happen. You may meet somebody, you've got your healthy energy signature going, your healthy vibe, you know who you are, why you are who you are. So you meet somebody, and they present real well. And so you go on a date or two or three or four, and then maybe there's some red flags. Well, you'll catch those much, much easier and then you'll not continue that relationship because it's not with another healthy person. That's the beauty of taking your power back, knowing who you are and why you are who you are, standing on your own two feet, being complete within yourself. When you encounter people, they may get past the first filter or two, but they won't make it all the way through because they're not healthy.
And don't think you're going to change people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that they're irritating when you meet somebody in the beginning, but, you know, there's so many good things that you overlook the irritations. Oh, hey, we can guarantee that those irritations are going to drive you crazy later.
Well, that's why the knight in shining armor often becomes the nightmare in shining armor.
It's true.
All right, so let's talk about demonic possessions. You know, this kind of gets people's curiosity up. You know, are they real? In an answer, in a word, no, not really. First of all, you got to believe in demons to even believe in demonic possession. I don't. I have never seen any evidence that they exist. And trust me, I've looked hard and long, and I just can't come up with any verification that they even exist. Do spirits exist? Sure. You know, are some of them unkind? Notice my censoring. Are they some of them unkind? Yeah. You know, but how many people do you know that don't treat you well? You know, there are people all over the place. Well, spirits are no different than people. It's what they are. So can they possess a person? Well, perhaps, but only in the same way as another human can possess a human. And not nearly as easily as a human can possess another human. So is there anything to fear? No. There's so many examples when people reportedly are demonically possessed. And these exorcisms, and you know, they seem to work, right? I mean, I've seen them and they all seem to work. Well, it's because they're working on a psychological process, which we can all boil down to one thing. The person taking their power back, reclaiming who they are, reclaiming their identity, reclaiming their power. That's what corrects that itch situation. Let's talk about paranormal phenomena. I get emails quite often, you know, seeking help. I have a spirit, you know, upstairs, and I hear footsteps, and I hear doors, and I hear things, and then I got some scratches on me. And I mean, it's the same story over and over and over and over again. And it's real simple. If a complete stranger walked into your house and started moving things around or just walking around, what would you do? Oh, hey, wow, I'm afraid. No, you'd probably call the police, right? You would protect your home. You would stand up on your own 2 feet and get out. I don't know who you are, what you want, but this is not your domain. This is not your house. You have violated a boundary. Well, that's the same thing with spirits. Just because they can presumably go through walls and all that stuff does not automatically give them the right to be in your house, does it? And trust me, spirits can't hurt you. People can kill you. Spirits can't hurt you. Scratches, really? Give me a break. You know, so what? They can't hurt you. So if you don't want them around, you can't do anything to help them, tell them to move on. You don't get angry. You do it in a very firm way. Move on. I can't help you. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you want. You could be my relative, but I don't know that. So unless you can find a way to get that information to me, you got to move on to somebody who can help you. I can't help you. Move on.
It's fear, Doug, right?
It's fear.
You're singing my song, right? I've met lots of spirits over the years, and very often things will be moved around or they're getting my attention. And I have no problem with that, but I say, you know, what do you want? And if you can't find a way to get through to me or I can't open my mind in a way that we can communicate, then please don't move the furniture. You know,
well,
and
yeah.
No throwing thing. Don't throw
things. Yeah.
Because you're going to really pee me off here. And don't upset the animals. So, you know, it's the thing I just want to cover, I have a theory about, lots of people talk about channeling, and I think that we, and of course unconscious channeling, I think that the consciousness is always there, it just kind of moves over. But you cannot make anyone do anything that they're not already wanting or willing to do. And the same thing for hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state of mind. Now, if there is an energy signature of a spirit around, or the spirit is playing tricks, and there's any fear in you or instability, emotional unrest, then it's going to display to something negative. And I want to say that again. If you have anything in yourself that is causing, that can whirl that energy around to cause negative effects, you got to look inside yourself. And, you know, I always say, okay, yeah, I see, I never really had a problem with this. I've just dealt with a lot of people who've had a problem with this. And I know some young fellow many years ago had phoned me up and said, Vicki, you've known me for a long time, but I'm talking to spirits all the time. I'm getting all these really spooky things going on. So my first questions are you on any medication? Have you been doing any drugs lately? Because I know you. Are you drinking much alcohol? Any of these things can alter, number one, your energy. It alters your energy, but it alters your psychological disposition. And absolutely. So everything changes. So if you can say honestly, you know, you clean it up, and there's still stuff happening, then you can have a dynamic with these other energy forces, entities, and so on. But you're the boss. I'm the boss of me. You can't just come into my home and throw things around unless, you know, okay, you're getting my attention. I get it. You got it. So what's your point?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a point, move along.
You know, and I've said this before, but it's just always, I just get such a chuckle. You know, I hear so many ghost hunters talk about how they have to do this cleansing ritual after an investigation, whether it's with sage or surrounding themselves with bright white lights, whatever, so that the ghosts don't follow them home, you know, because, you know, they're afraid of that. And when I do it, I'm afraid that the ghosts won't follow me home. I would much rather do my research here. And so it's like, what am I going to be afraid of? You know, can I be startled? Sure, anybody can be startled, but being startled doesn't mean you're afraid. Just means you were startled. I mean, somebody can jump out from behind a corner and say, boo, you know, and startle you. That's going to hurt you now. So it's like, so what? So there's a ghost here. Well, there's not one here, you know, bummer. But so what if there is? You know, and personally, I've invited everything you can imagine to show up, and nothing really does. Except I think Thomas Francis showed up today for a minute. But,
that's great.
You know, it's like, so what? There's more important things to think about and to direct your energy into. And if you don't want them there, just tell them to move along. You know, and let me just kind of address globally everything I've been talking about for the last, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. This is my own personal belief, okay? From the evidence, from everything that I've experienced and researched, I even dealt with an alleged abduction, an abductee, and we went through these some self-hypnosis, some hypnosis sessions on him taking his power back and setting down the law, and the abductions stopped. Now, whether the abductions were real or not is kind of immaterial. They stopped, and because he took his power back. Now, if they were real and they stopped, that means that there's an unwritten cosmic law, which I'll say in a moment. If these abduction events were psychological in nature, it doesn't matter. It still cured it because he took his power back. I can't emphasize how powerful this technique is. And it's a change of mind, a change of spirit, a change of heart. It is empowering. It is understanding that you are worthy of anything and everything, that you take responsibility for who you are, for standing up as an adult. It's a powerful technique. Now, I still believe that there's this unwritten cosmic law that free will must be respected. I've seen it time and time again in the paranormal world and relationships. It doesn't matter. Free will must be respected. But that declaration of free will has got to be genuine. Let me give you an example. If I'm on a schoolyard and being picked on by a bully, and I say, oh, please don't hurt me, don't hurt me, I don't want you to do this, please. Well, what do you think the bully's going to do? You know, it's going to keep bullying me. But if I look him dead in the eye and say, this is not happening, you want to take this to the next level, I'm game. You best turn around and walk the other way. And you shut up and you're staring him in the eye. What do you think the bully's going to do? Bullies are cowards. They back down. So free will has been respected. Now, I believe this carries over to the spirit world, to the alien world, whatever. I think free will has to be respected. And it will be respected if you are serious, if you're confident, and if you have that energy signature. Bullies can pick out a victim a mile away. They have an almost psychic ability to determine who they can get away, you know, who they can pick on, get away with it, and who they can't. It's uncanny. If who you are sends the message, I'm good and I'm nice, but you can't walk on me. I won't walk on you, but I won't let you walk on me. That message will come through in just who you are, in your energy signature, in your vibe. And that's the kind of vibe you gotta emit. How do you change your vibe? How do you change your energy signature? How do you take your power back? You educate yourself. You think, and you think critically. And you understand that you have a right to all the good things in life, no matter who you are, no more, no less than anyone else, that you have a right to peace, to success, to joy in life. That's your birthright. It's a right you have. Embrace it. Take it. If you're in a toxic relationship that's going nowhere, leave it. Get out of it. You know, because if the other person won't change, that's just, there's no other choice. You know, if they won't change, you leave. It's just the way it is. I didn't write that rule. It's just life. If you bang your head against the wall over and over and over and over again, what do you think is going to happen? You're just going to have a headache and the wall's going to have a hole in it. Nothing's going to change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. So stand up tall. Understand that you're perfect the way you are, and you're getting better tomorrow. You're a perfect work in progress. Embrace it. Seize it. Educate yourself. Stand tall. Hold your head high. That's taking your power back. All right. I'm off my soapbox.
It's a good box, Doug. I love it. I love it. You know, it's Dan just made a note in the chat. He says, same goes for toxic parents.
Yeah, it does.
You know, as long as you are the age to leave, then you leave. These are hard choices that we make every day. But in order to get healthy, to get well, to move forward, be productive, progressive, and evolve, we have to make tough choices, tough decisions. So we've all had to do it. But that is how, you know, I know that I'm going to check in with myself, that my spirit is evolving and that I'm becoming a better human being. And that's all I need to know.
And if you'd like to learn more about what we're talking about here, you know, go and enroll at metaphysicsinstitute.org. This is all the stuff you learn. This is practical life skills. It's part of MCHS Church's principles of belief, learning practical life skills, how to be more successful in life, communication skills, assertiveness skills, critical thinking skills, relationship skills. It's all part of the curriculum. And it's a curriculum you will not find anywhere else because it's based on the life leadership paradigm, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three, freaky, self-completeness. We appreciate everyone taking the time to listen to us this evening, whether live or in the archives. Hopefully you found some things that will be of value to you. If you like what you hear, please tell others about it. Spread the word. If you'd like to get more information, again, visit mchschurch.org. On there, you will also find the One Planet Accord. It's got its own address as well, oneplanetaccord.org. There's a nice flag there. A profession of what we stand for in one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. So visit that as well. Quick note on the bumper stickers. I got a new batch on the way. The previous batch was messed up for reasons I shall disclose right now, but they're coming. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.